This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
Father, we thank you so much for the hope that we have that one of these days, the old things will have passed away and all things will have become new. And Father, we pray too that you would draw near to us as we study your word. And we thank you for our church family. We thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it today in our lives for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Manuel Carbonell was supposed to be preaching this afternoon, and we didn't know that he wouldn't be preaching this afternoon until it was about 8:45 last night, right, Jason? So anyway, I went home and was assaulted for the next two and a half hours by sermon pixies. I had like three different sermons actually that I was working on, and then so I brought one with me that was partially done this morning, and then when I got here this morning, decided that wasn't the right sermon. And so this is a case where we trust that God is giving us exactly what we need. We always hope that that's the case, but in times like this, it seems more acute that our dependence upon God. And so if you'll take your Bibles and look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The book of Job tells us that man was born for trouble just as sure as sparks fly upward. And at any given point in our lives, all of us have affliction to one degree or another, face discouragement to one degree or another. And what Paul tells us in this passage, which really is a magnificent passage, is he teaches us how to actually see through our affliction. He actually gives us a perspective that helps us not to lose heart. I mean, how many of us actually find it very easy on any given day just to lose heart? Just to be disheartened, to be discouraged. And it doesn't matter whether it is in the details of our immediate life or as we watch the news and just see the way things are falling apart all around us. It is easy to be discouraged. It's easy to lose heart. And here, the Apostle Paul tells us a number of things that are absolutely crucial for us to adopt as our own personal perspective on this life and the life to come. And the first one is seen in verse 16, where there is this outer man, inner man perspective. Now, what's interesting about verse 16 is that Paul actually picks up a theme that he already started back in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." That very same word, "do not lose heart," is then repeated again in verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." And what Paul's doing is Paul is testifying to the encouragement that God really does give his people in the midst of trial and in the midst of affliction. Now, it's not as if Paul is writing this on the basis of hearsay. It's not as if Paul is saying, "You know, I read this really good book on how to deal with trials and afflictions. Let me share with you what I read." Paul is actually going to tell us what he tells us on the basis of his own afflictions. He's going to tell us what he tells us on the basis of his own suffering, of his own temptation to lose heart. In other words, it's the trials that surround Paul's life that give us, as it were, the crucible and the context from which this word springs. And so, for instance, in verses 1 to 6 of chapter 4, Paul tells us that the reason we don't lose heart is because we have received mercy and we've received this ministry, that's the new covenant ministry, and we are instruments through which the sovereign God is pleased to open people's eyes and shine the light of the gospel into their hearts. Then in verses 7 to 12, Paul realistically deals with the great paradox of the Christian life. That on the one hand, we have this glorious treasure, which is the gospel. It's in clay pots. Of course, clay pots were disposable, dispensable. And then he talks about the fact that he himself was subject to all kinds of trials. But here's the amazing thing, is that even though we're just clay pots, disposable and dispensable, the fact is that God takes this decaying death sentence that we have over us, and he uses that death sentence to bring the message of life in Jesus to other people. So Paul always had in mind that his own sufferings actually were a vehicle to actually help other people. They were a vehicle for him to be able to share, as it were, the life of Jesus to other people. For Paul, suffering and ministry weren't two different compartments that he dealt with in life. Suffering and ministry were actually melded together into one reality, so that for Paul, the very idea of being able to minister to people meant that you were going to suffer, because it's in suffering oftentimes that we're able to best communicate to people. And so, just as a side note, when you suffer, when you face discouragement, when you face affliction, you have to remember God is always doing something bigger than just in your life. The suffering and the trials that we go through actually are to equip us to more effectively minister to other people. Now, a lot of times we don't like that, but the fact is that that's what God does. That's what God does. In fact, he goes back, and in chapter 1, he actually tells us that we are actually comforted with the comfort that comes from God in the midst of our affliction, so that we in turn can minister to those and give them comfort who are in affliction. So there's this big picture to suffering for the Apostle Paul. Then verses 13 to 15, Paul's focus is on the boldness that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus, and in fact, our future resurrection. And so for Paul, the resurrection of Jesus just changes absolutely everything, right? The fact that Jesus has been raised up from the dead changes everything, including your suffering. So I'll just spell it out. Let's say that you have a really, really difficult relationship that's bringing you a lot of pain. Paul would say the resurrection of Jesus has changed everything, including that. Let's say you have a sick body that is dying and decaying. Paul would say the resurrection of Jesus changes that, right? Let's say you have a marriage that is just struggling. The resurrection of Jesus changes that. You battle with sin, maybe addiction or something. The resurrection of Jesus changes that. And so for the apostle, he's looking at this big picture. So we don't lose heart. Why don't we lose heart? Because God has actually given us this mercy and this ministry, and through that we suffer, but that's the context in which we suffer the Christian life. Now, when we get to verse 16, notice it says, therefore, we do not lose heart. So in light of all of this stuff that he says, therefore, conclusion, we don't lose heart. And then notice this next part. But though our outer man is decaying. So Paul reiterates why we don't lose heart. And then he says, turns around and tells us why we don't lose heart. Now he gives us a concessive clause here. Even though, even if our outer man is perishing. Now, for Paul, the perspective is that the outer man is that earthen vessel that he talks about back in verse 7. All right? The clay pot. From the New Testament perspective, the outer man is as it were, our physical bodily existence. And here's what Paul says about that outer man, that physical bodily existence. That is, it is in the process of decaying. It is, you could translate it this way, it is wasting away. It is spoiling. Your body is like a dead fish that's been left on the beach. It's being destroyed. It's being corrupted. It is actually decaying. Now, this is not some sort of Greek anti-body statement. The Greeks oftentimes talked in terms of the body and the soul as if the body was bad and the soul was good. That's not what Paul's saying, because Paul is going to teach us that the body one day will be redeemed because it is good. But in this present life, this body has a death sentence that we carry about. And the thing is that's just true of all of us. Whether you're in third grade or whether you're 90, the fact is that this outer man has a death sentence that has been passed because of the fall. And so we come into this world, and the minute that we come into this world, that death sentence begins to take effect. And that from that moment on, we grow and then we decay, so that by, when you read Ecclesiastes 12, you read this actually depressing picture of the decrepitness of old age. Which is why Kohelet says to remember God, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before you get too old and cranky and only care about your next doctor appointment. And so here's this outer man, and it's decaying. It's just the wear and the tear that this life inflicts upon our bodies. And what we know from the scripture is that we're all dying. All of us. And death is at work in us. And whether it takes 80 years or 90 years, or whether it happens in a flash, in a tsunami, or whether it happens in the tenderness of youth, death is at work. We are perishing. That's the reality. There's a terrible plague in our culture. Paul Tripp calls it the youthification of culture, where we do everything we can to hang on to youth and youthfulness and looking youthful and staying youthful. And every once in a while, Ariel and I, we watched a movie with Tommy Lee Jones the other day. She goes, you know, I'm so thankful for somebody that just gets old and wrinkly, and that's just the way that it is. And I said, well, you know what? I mean, look at Charlie. I mean, here's a guy that's just old and decaying and just accepts it. He doesn't try to dye his hair. He doesn't try to do anything. Just letting it go. Well, this is just the reality, right? But what we try to do is we try to actually hang on. We try to delay the inevitable. Now, I'm not saying don't eat right. I'm not saying, well, make sure you never exercise. I'm not saying make sure you eat, a lot of fat and high cholesterol stuff and just live it up. Although if that's the choice that you make, you know, tell me your favorite hymns and we'll plan your funeral now. But, you know, the fact is that we want to take care of ourselves. These bodies, the outer man is a stewardship. But the outer man is also decaying, period. And so Paul says, even though the outer man is decaying. And so young person, you feel good. You feel vibrant. You feel energetic. Let me just tell you something. that will be over like that. Okay? And one day, you'll wake up and you'll have sciatic pain going down your right leg. And one of these days, you'll wake up and you realize that there's a lot of hair in the sink. And one of these days, you'll wake up and you'll realize that you're not as fast as you used to be. And you're not as strong as you used to be. And you're not as virile as you used to be. And the fact is that all of us are decaying. Paul says, although the outer man is decaying, look at this, our inner man is being renewed day by day. And so here's the reason why Paul doesn't lose heart. He could say, wow, get depressed. Your outer man is decaying. You're going to be old and decrepit. He doesn't say that. He says, listen, you don't need to lose heart because even though the outer man is in fact in the process of being corrupted and decaying, the inner man is renewed day by day. And so for Paul, the perspective is that you are, as a person, you are outer man and inner man. You are body and soul. And so there's a sense in which that inner man has been renewed already by the power of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And that inner man is being renewed daily by communion with Christ through his word, through prayer, through the Spirit, through the fellowship of God's people. And so here's the glorious thing is that you can look at people who have this perspective of why I don't need to lose heart even though my outer man is perishing. I think of our dear, dear brother, Mike Shepherd. Mike's outer man is decaying, and it's decaying quickly. And yet, you know what? He knows what it is to have the inner man renewed day by day. And so Paul says, listen, even though the outer man is in the process of corruption, the inner man can be renewed day by day by day. And this is why you don't need to lose heart in the midst of trial, in the midst of affliction. Maybe your body is being ravaged by disease. Maybe your life is falling apart. And the reality is that you have an inner man that has been renewed by the Spirit, as indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and can be strong every day, even though the outer man is getting weaker and weaker every day. In verse 17, Paul then explains why we don't lose heart with our inner man being renewed day by day, and it has to do with our perspective. Verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So in verse 17, the four is the grounds for being renewed day by day. Now, listen to verse 17 carefully and believe it. Paul describes affliction, and he describes it like this. Present light affliction. Now, I suppose that you could say, well, Paul's not familiar with my particular case. But I would actually argue that what Paul is saying is true for every believer, every child of God, as they go through trials in life, and that is, it is present light affliction. Present, that Paul says, this affliction that's happening, it is just simply, it's happening at this moment. The word actually means on the spot. The suffering, the affliction that you're going through right now, no matter what it is actually a momentary affliction. And then he turns around and he says, and it's light. That is, it's light in weight. And in fact, sometimes this word is translated as insignificant. Now, Paul is not for a moment actually saying that that your trials don't matter. But what he is saying is, you look at that affliction. Remember, the word affliction is, it comes to us from the Greek word thlipsis, which means to be pressed. And it was often used in terms of pressing olives together, mashing them together to bring out the oil. And so the idea of affliction is to be pressed. It's the idea of tribulation. It's pressure. And Paul says that pressure that you feel, it's real pressure, but it's momentary pressure. And really, when you think about it, it's light pressure. Now, Paul says the reason the inner man can be renewed day by day is because this present light affliction is working. So whatever you're going through, whatever your affliction is right now, Paul wants you to understand that God's design for that affliction is that it's working in you. It's doing something in you. You know, God's always teaching us, right? And in the midst of affliction, God is teaching. So he takes the momentary light affliction and it's working in us. It's affecting something in us. It's producing something in us. And what is that? Look at this. The eternal weight of glory. Now, this is where you have to really think about what Paul is saying. Look at the comparison. Eternal versus what? Momentary, right? Weight, heaviness versus what? Light. Glory versus what? Tribulation. That's the comparison. That's the comparison. The eternal weight of glory. So the reason why we can actually be renewed day by day by day, the reason why we don't have to be driven right into the ground by our afflictions is because these light momentary afflictions are actually producing in us, working in us, the eternal weight of glory. So I would submit to you that the only way that our afflictions can be seen to be light and airy is when they are weighed against eternity and the weight of glory. Okay. So what Paul wants us to do is he wants us to understand it's not that what you're going through isn't real, and it's not that it isn't painful, but what he does want us to see is that compared to the future weight of eternal glory, it's light and momentary. That's how he wants us to think about it. And so, when he says, by the way, eternal weight of glory, I've told you this before, weight or glory in the Old Testament, kavod, means weight. It means heaviness. So the glory of God is the weightiness of God. It's the gravity of God. It's the magnitude, the heaviness of God. And Paul says the momentary light affliction is producing for us the eternal weight of weightiness. In other words, there's something that is awaiting us in the future that these momentary light trials are producing for us. And then Paul actually then adds this little expression. It's really a terrific little expression in the Greek text. Far beyond all comparison. The idea is that in a sense, above and beyond, to extraordinary degree, beyond measure, beyond all measure, all proportion. Paul actually says something similar to this in Romans 8:18, and that is, I consider that the sufferings of what? This, anybody remember? This present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So that's the idea, is that the present, the right now sufferings are not even worthy to be compared to the future glory that will be revealed. Paul basically telling us, listen, your afflictions, they're a matter of perspective. And so here's why you can be renewed day by day, even though you live under a death sentence. The eternal weight of glory is making all of our trials and heartaches and pain dissipate one of these days like thin air. Again, it doesn't diminish or minimize our trials, but it does maximize and magnify the eternal weight of glory. Do you understand that as Christians, this present time is going to be filled with more sorrow than joy? Well, that's not the brand of Christianity that I like. Well, sorry, you don't get to pick the brand. You just get to follow Jesus. And following Jesus means suffering. And following Jesus means affliction. And following Jesus means sorrow. And so the old timers had this down. We pass through this life as through a veil of tears. That's just the simple fact. Now, are we thankful for the joys? And the answer is yes. Are we thankful for the new babies that come into this world safe and sound? And the answer is yes. Do we rejoice in the glad times and the happy blessings that God gives us? And the answer is yes. But I would submit to you that at the end of your life, if you were to take a scale and you were to take all of the sadness, all of the sorrow, all of the grief, all the affliction, all the suffering, and then weigh it against all the times that you were truly just as happy as could be, the sorrows and the sufferings are going to outweigh the happy times. That's the way it is. And Paul says, you know what? You can live with a renewed inner man every single day if you keep in perspective the fact that you, what you're going through right now is light, it's airy, it's temporary compared to the future weight of eternal glory. There's going to be a time when you look back on this present suffering and it's going to seem like a blip on the screen. He said, it's been going on so long. It's been going on so long. This is the sadness and the sorrow, the grief, the affliction has been going on so long. Let's say you have affliction that lasts 100 years. Absolutely nothing compared to what God has for you in the future. You, as a believer in Christ, you have an eternity of unmitigated joy, ever increasing joy in the presence of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so whatever we go through in this present life will pale into nothingness compared to what God has in store for us. One of the things that we have totally forgotten in our culture, our affluent, rich, indulgent, give it to me now culture, is that as a Christian, our hope is not a hope that tomorrow is going to be better than today. Our hope is that eternity is going to be better than the present. And so, if you want to sing stupid songs like every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, you go right ahead. But it's not true. It's not true. Inner man's renewed, even in the midst of suffering, affliction, and trial. And so, how in the world do we grasp that? Right? How do we grasp that when you're hurting? How do you grasp that when your heart is breaking? And I think Paul tells us in verse 18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so I think that what Paul's telling us is, listen, this is how you actually get this perspective. This is how you get your heart and your mind around this, is that you realize that while you are looking at the things which are temporary, the things that you can see, those are the things that are going to pass away. The things that are not seen, or the things that are seen, are perishing. The things like the outer man they're perishing. The trials, they're temporary. They're passing away. The pain, the suffering, it's temporary. It really is temporary. What is it that counts? The things not seen. The things not seen. Sam Storms says, the process of renewal only occurs as the believer looks to things as yet unseen. So we have the eternal weight of glory. We have spiritual realities both now and the future. The glory of Christ now and the future. The hope of glory that we have in Christ now and in the future. And so why is it that we love the Word of God? Because the Word of God testifies to us repeatedly of things unseen. The Word of God testifies to us repeatedly of that which is eternal. The Word of God testifies to us of the things that are truly unchanging and focuses our attention on the realities that are really real that will last forever. And that's what God's Word does for us. It reminds us of that perspective. And so our faith and our hope are a future-oriented faith and hope. And if we are so caught up in the present, then we forget that our greatest reward doesn't come in this life. It comes in the life to come. In fact, there's this wonderful terseness in the text. The things that are seen, temporary. The things that are not seen, eternal. When we pray for many temporal things. And that's right. That's fine. That's good. If you're struggling and you're enduring suffering right now, to pray about those things is absolutely right and good. And God may deliver you from those things. God may deliver you from loneliness. God may deliver you from sorrow. God may deliver you from a difficult situation. God may deliver you from financial ruin. God may do all of these things for you. And if he does, bless his name, praise him. But I would remind you that those things, those deliverances are still temporary in and of themselves. But God may also choose not to deliver us. God may choose not to heal. God may choose not to intervene. If you don't have a perspective like this that says, you know what, the stuff that I see, temporary. The stuff I don't see, eternal. It's the eternal that I'm going to fix my mind on. It's the eternal that's going to remind me that what I'm going through right now is temporary and light in comparison to the future weight of glory. If you don't have that, then what happens? When the doctor says you've got inoperable cancer, you think this matters for Bob? Is his wife, I mean, how fast did Nellie die? A month and a half. Right in the prime of life. Teenage daughter. You don't have this perspective. Guess what? All of a sudden, nothing makes sense. Why in the world would God do this? Well, you know what? What matters ultimately to God is that which is unseen and that which is eternal. And so remember the contrasts. I've got an outer man. That outer man lives in this world, and that outer man is connected with all kinds of stuff. The outer man is perishing, and it's connected to a world that is perishing. But there's an inner man that this world can't touch. There is the present versus the eternal, the light versus the heavy, the afflictions versus the glory. There are the things that are seen versus the things that are not seen. There's the transient and the temporal versus that which is eternal. So I think if Paul could sit down with us and say, let me counsel you a little bit. I think he would say, I know what it is to face real pain. And I know what it is to go through real suffering. You have to remember, it doesn't last forever. There's something that does last forever. And it's what you don't see right now. And so how in the world do you live with this kind of perspective? Well, it's not as if you just either stick your head in the sand or just gaze at the stars and just ignore everything in life. But we live realistically. And from God's perspective, living realistically means you maintain a perspective of eternity. That's realistic. Eternity. Eternity. So, how much do you need to understand about present momentary light affliction? Well, the answer is that you don't have to understand it. This present life doesn't have to make sense to you. You don't have to be able to unravel the mysteries of your own suffering. You don't have to be able to turn around and say, well, why did God allow this? Why did God do this? Why did that happen? The reason that you don't have to actually understand those things is because you understand something more important. And that is that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And because of his doing and his dying and his present intercession, our outer man, although it is perishing, the inner man is renewed day by day, strengthened over and over again, not to unravel the mysteries, but to trust the God who is in charge of that which is unseen. So in order to see through your trials, whatever they are right now, you need to look with the eyes of faith and see past the present to eternity. In order to see through the trials and the affliction now, you need to see those things through the prism of the one who died and rose again. And as we do that, God does something inside of us. He renews us. He strengthens us. And equips us to face the present trials, which will be over very, very soon. Let's pray. Father, we know that there are some, maybe many, who have really heavy hearts right now, and they're burdened. And they feel that their afflictions are not just temporary, but they're really, really long. And they're not light, but they're really, really heavy. Father, I pray that you would give them a glimpse today through your word of the eternal weight of glory that's waiting for us, your children. Father, we know that this present life is not all that it should be. But we know that there's coming a day when you'll make all things right. And there will be no more tears, no more suffering, no more death, no more sadness and sorrow. For the old things really will have passed away. Father, help us to enjoy the good times, the happy times that you give us. But we also pray that you would equip us with the perspective that sustains us during our trials. And we ask this in the name of the one who suffered more than any of us could ever imagine, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.